Have you ever looked into the night sky and wondered, are we alone? We've learned so much about the world and our universe, and yet we realize there are so many mysteries yet unsolved. If you are interested in the unexplained and mysterious in our world, then join us in The Night Search, a forum for discussion and exploration of the world just beyond our reach. And now, your host for Night Search, Eddie Middleton.
For being back on, and tell us about your book. What's the title of it? And we'll just jump right in.
Hey,
Eddie.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Eddie, we missed your intro. There's a little bit of technical lag. I hit the you to go live. It didn't. And I guess you started talking. And so we missed your entire intro there.
Okay. Well, this is St. Patrick's Day, 2015. We're interviewing Augie Nost, who's been a frequent guest on our show and a guest co-host. And he's going to be talking about another book he has written. And Augie, thanks for being on. And start with the title of your book, and we'll just jump right in.
Well, thank you, thank you. I enjoy being on here, and this show has kind of a reputation of being a slightly controversial once in a while. So I just can't help it. I got to turn a little political before I get into the book.
That's okay.
And what we're going to talk about tonight is the other book here that's called Universal Success Principles and How Billionaires Think.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that, yeah, we all know how to think. We think, but maybe we don't think the same way.
Right.
And why don't we do that? Well, it's because we have been taught differently. Most of people on Earth have more or less some type of mind control in the direction of the negative. How many times have we heard, oh, don't get your hopes up?
Yeah.
And school system, which I rather want to call the fool system, it doesn't teach success. It, contrary to that, it teaches failure. It does not teach you how to think independently. It does not teach you how to, the principles that allow you to tap into resources of the mind that will bring out success. And this is on purpose, because a dumbed-down and docile people are much easier to control.
Yeah.
But once we step out of that box, we start finding there's a whole new world out there. And that's what some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight. What I suggest is that you go get yourself a pen and a paper, because I'm going to be talking about some things that you just might want to write down.
Okay.
You can rather do it now, or later on you're going to be hunting around the house for that pen and that paper, and you're going to miss some of what I said. What I think I'm going to do, I like to start. I'm going to read a couple of small paragraphs, right at the first paragraphs in the book. And it says, and here I quote, "It would stagger the mind how far human development would have come by now, was it not for religion and government."
Mm.
And the thing is, those are the two entities that have held us back. They are there for two reasons, money and power, and not necessarily in that order. The other quote I want to read to you is that if it wasn't for those two entities, we would have plenty of food for all the people on Earth, plenty of housing for the people. There will be technologies far beyond our present level. we would have mostly eradicated all disease. We would be a space-faring people traveling among the stars. War would exist only in the history books. We would have a good understanding of creation, the mind, the thing called God, who we are, how the universe works, and even what it is. Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like some people are guilty of culpable incompetence.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what culpable means, guilty of, yeah.
Yeah. And when we think about that, why is that? Why are we held back? There's so many reasons, and you have to think about that. Because once you understand the problem, you are much better suited to deal with it. And there is a problem. The problem has become ours. And we are the only ones that can solve it in each one of our individual cases. And that is our mission while we are here, or one of them. See, these solutions that we know are out there, they are already, the solutions are already being created, but we have not been allowed to enjoy them. There's another very famous man, he's called Adolf Hitler. One of his quotes was that, "How convenient for rulers that people do not think." He also said, "The mass of people will more easily fall for a big lie than for a small one."
Yeah.
And that thing is still good today.
Yeah.
And I have a saying, and that is that if you think like everybody else, you will be like everybody else. And if you do like everybody else, you will have what everybody else have. Are you sure you want that?
No.
Yeah, that's something. Then we should step out of the box and we just wander away from the thing and never look in the box again. In fact, I'm always joking about that. I'm telling people that I am so far out of the box, I don't even know where it is anymore. And there is something to that. And in some cases, it's been benefiting me a lot. In some cases, it cost me a penalty or two.
Yeah.
There are some things that the ultra-wealthy and ultra-successful people of the world, they keep it to themselves. And you will learn some of those secrets once you step out of the box. Well, and they're not really secrets, because it is available to you out of the box. And here's something that the super wealthy and successful people always are concerned about. And that is that, first of all, you got to take care of your health. And in that concept of taking care of your health, there are some things that I'm going to add to it. And that is, 90% of the people in the United States are deficient in iodine. So I take 1 to 3 drops a day of iodine, so I don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
I also eat a lot of raw foods.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, when you cook the food, what do you do to it? You kill it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you kill it? You kill the enzymes in the food. Enzymes are so necessary and so important to keep a healthy body.
Mm.
And another thing, if you have root canals in your teeth, get them out. There is a doctor, his name is Dr. Tennant. Go to YouTube and listen to his videos and you will find out why. Because they will get you sick. If you aren't sick now, you will be sick from it, very sick from it, in your older age.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
well, how can can you undo a root canal?
Yes, you can. You can just take it out, and the dentists know how to do that. Though there's a protocol for it, and you got to be very careful when you do it because you have the amalgam that has some very toxic substance in it. In fact, one of the most toxic substances on Earth is in there. So be careful with that.
Ooh.
Another thing is that back in my early days, I learned something from a martial art master. He told me, if you do this one thing, you will never be sick in your life.
Oh.
And I have pretty much done that, and I've really never been sick except for maybe a few hangovers that I earned myself in my misspent youth. But otherwise, no, I really haven't been sick. And
I hope you can share this with us now.
Yeah, I'm going to share it with you. What he told me was that oxygen kills all virus and bacteria. So he told me to hyperventilate for 3 to 5 minutes every day, at least a couple of three times a day. I've done that too, not necessarily every day, but and not necessarily 3 to 5 times a day all the time. But I do, most of the time. And the reason for this is that in the mid-1960s, the Nobel Prize was given to Dr. Warburg. He discovered that oxygen kills all virus and bacteria. So what the martial art master told me, it was true. I do not believe that he knew about that at the time, but they use it in the East. It is taught in one of the martial arts to do this, to gain strength, to gain clarity of mind, and to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. And you hyperventilate for how many minutes at a time? You said 2 or 3 minutes?
What you do, what I do, is I sit down, kind of meditate, and then I take 20 deep breaths. When you have done that, you are slightly dizzy. Depends on how you're doing it. You could be very dizzy.
Yeah.
But you don't want to do it so much that you get so dizzy that you can't control yourself, you know, fall over and things. But you're sitting down anyway, so there shouldn't be much of a problem. And then you just wait. When the dizziness starts going away, you feel like, okay, it's going away. Then you start taking another 10 deep breaths again. And you breathe in through the nose, and you breathe out through the mouth. And you do that for 10 deep breaths, and now you're slightly dizzy again. And you do this for 3 to 5 minutes, and what happens is that the oxygen goes into the lung, gets in the air sac, gets transferred into the bloodstream, and it goes through every part of your body. And even inside, it passes the blood-brain barrier, and it gets inside the brain. So this is very important to stay healthy. And
yeah,
another thing, go ahead.
I was going to say, I've heard that before, actually in my anatomy class, is that, especially because how, especially Americans, we don't breathe properly. We usually take short, shallow breaths, and we don't breathe properly. So it's very important for us to learn how to breathe diaphragmatically.
I know.
And for one of two reasons is, not only just is it important to get the oxygen, which your body needs, not to just kill the thing that you were just talking about, but also to take in the vital things to make the brain and body function properly and replace the carbon dioxide, which is just housed within us and our bodies, and so important to remove it because it's so toxic to our bodies, you know?
I know it. And I tell you, though, if the pharmaceutical came up with a pill that had oxygen in it, boy, oh boy, would that solve the problem, huh? But that's not going to happen because the oxygen that I'm talking about is free. Now, there's another concept that I have, or a saying that I've said ever so often, that is aging is a disease and it can be cured. We have the technology to cure it now, two different ways. I have a document that came out of the Genome Project, and the title of the document is called "The Problem with Human Immortality Has Been Solved." Now, that dates back about maybe a little over 10 years when I got that from somebody on the project. Now, there is another reason why I'm saying that, and that is that in 2009, there were three doctors that was given the Nobel Prize for discovering an enzyme that reverses the aging process. So, yes, it can be done. There is also a Chinese herb that will do pretty much the same thing. It's called astragalus. So you can go on the internet and you can probably buy that for $9 supply, $9 a month. It's going to cost you to actually start taking that.
Astragalus?
Astragalus, yeah.
Astragalus. Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
And it reverses or slows down the aging process.
It appears as it's actually reversing it also. I don't know, we're spending a lot of time on health here, but it's probably pretty good because in the mid-1950s, there was a Chinese university professor that came to New York. It was an exchange program. A U.S. University professor went to China, so they were kind of exchanging cultural values and so on. And the Chinese in New York, he went out for dinner one night and he got food poisoning and died. So by the time they got to look into this, there was something in his papers that didn't fit because his birth date had to be wrong because the guy was 154 years old. That didn't make sense. And he looks like he was in his 50s and 60s from the picture I saw. And they asked the Chinese ambassador about this and says, this can't be right. And he says, well, yeah, it is. And he says, how can it be? And the Chinese ambassador told the guy that wrote the story, as far as I understand, he said, well, first of all, he says he did not believe he could die. And for the second, he took some Chinese herbs, which later, I have not verified this, but I'm finding out that it probably was astragalus. So we shouldn't look into this.
Yeah. I had one other question, just since you had mentioned about the people with root canals are going to get sick in older age from it. What about someone who needs a root canal to save a tooth? Should they just not save the tooth and let it go, just yank it out, or what?
Well, the problem is that do you rather want to have the tooth so you can maybe knock off another 10 years off your life, or do you want to do what? Because that tooth will infect because they cannot get all the tissue out of there. And dead tissue inside of your body, what does it do? It rots. And when it rots, what does it do? It creates bad bacteria that starts spreading in the bloodstream. It's very small in the beginning, but it builds and builds and builds and builds. And it stresses the immune system to the point where at one point it cannot handle it all, and then you get sick.
So it's a question of the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, I think it's a question of one evil, but I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can find a formula to grow new teeth anyway. Who knows?
Yeah. I heard that happen too. Yeah. Well, let's maybe talk a little bit about success principles too, because they're so elusive and they're so hard to understand, and nobody has taught this because the status quo don't want you to learn some of these higher principles behind it. And success is understood as so many different things. If you go down the street and ask 100 people about what is your definition of success, you're probably going to get somewhere between 95 to 100 different answers.
Yeah.
Success for a man is very often that he's going to, create a business and take care of his family, or he's going to get a better job so he can take care of his family, or he's going to do different things to advance in the environment that he's in. Success for a woman, that might be to raise good children, to have them, make them be good adults. And it's all kinds of different things that we run into. Then the thing is, I have probably my definition, which I think I would call it a progressive realization of a worthwhile dream or goal. Because success is not a destination, it's a journey. A lot of people don't understand that. They think that when they achieve something, then they have arrived. And then suddenly, a week later, they find out, ooh, it didn't stay around. When you take something for granted, it goes away. Appreciate it. You court it. You love it. You care for it. It stays around. That is one of the things that the billionaires learned. Very often the hard way. And
now, let me ask you this, Augie, about talking about their success secrets. Like, these billionaires, do we rule out the fact that maybe they were just all out brilliant to begin with and they were so clever they could figure out how to make the money? Or is it some other secret that would be accessible to the average mind?
See, the average mind doesn't become a billionaire, because by the time you are a billionaire, then you are no longer average. And during that journey up to that point, there are a lot of flat broke people that is not average. They just haven't turned in the direction where they can be successful in other areas, but hasn't turned it towards economics and money, wealth, or abundance. Once they turn it in that direction, the same thing will happen. They will be successful in that arena also. It will happen. It cannot fail. Though, like I said, you got it. Success doesn't stay around if you take it for granted. And that's the important part. And that's just like education, too. You can look at a stay-at-home mom homeschooling her kids. They often get a better education and higher grades than the kids going to public schools that is taught by highly educated teachers. Does that tell you something? It's all on purpose. It's all on purpose.
Okay.
But education is such a small part of success, though. It is all success starts in the mind. We have physical success, mental success, and spiritual success. And what you create through success will rarely stay alive and stay with you unless that you are concerned about it on all three levels like that. The mental and physical principles for success, they're straightforward, but they're not always constant. Spiritual success principles are always constant. But when we operate by them, the physical, mental, success principle, they will fall into place pretty much on their own. Because in a mind-created universe, we exist in the soup of creation. And whatever is in our mind is what we will have the most. And that is what people have in our life the longest. Hey, guys, that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know. There are times, you know, when our thoughts aren't necessarily that far up the tone scale. But we got to watch ourselves for that, because what we think about, that is what we're going to have in our life. We draw things to us through this energy called attraction. It's not a thought, it's an energy. And let me ask you something. Let's say if a billionaire can be losing $1 million a day for a couple of years, but he's still a billionaire, is he successful?
Yeah.
Well, he's losing $1 million a day.
But if he's still got $1 billion As a backup, I'd say he's okay, you know.
He is okay, but in my mind, he's no longer successful. Financially successful, that is.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
Yeah, because he's going backwards.
Mm-hmm. So, we talked earlier about people, because you talked about successful people are billionaires being successful or whatever, because they tend to be not average people, but also not average people with above average intelligences find themselves to be poor. Is that because they're not financially successful, or what would you say would be holding them back from that level of success that they should be at?
Well, the billionaires have obviously succeeded in the financial arena. And they are not average people in that arena. Then again, we also see successful people and billionaires, they get divorces and they lose $100 million projects.
Mm-hmm.
I know Warren Buffett told me a project he lost. There was, I think it was $230 million he lost on one project.
Wow.
Yeah, they lose. But that doesn't affect their goal and their attitude, because they gain it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think different. They do not let... They know it's just a game. See, all success starts in the mind. It's not in the brain. It is in the mind. It starts with a wish. And maybe it goes to a want. And a little stronger want. And then it goes to a dream. And after a while, that dream is so strong that you can see it, you can feel it, you can smell it. And when you're there, it will happen. Everyone needs a dream. You will work on a dream. Either it is yours or it's somebody else's dream. Why should it not be yours? Let me tell you a little about dreams. I had one in my really early years back in Europe. I wanted to go to the United States. I learned to fly. There really was not really a opportunity for me to do it. I had a farm. I had a forestry. I was tied down to obligations over there. But the dream became so strong. I liquidated everything, and I left to the United States. I went to flight school and got all my certificates and rating, became a commercial pilot, multi-engine instructor, and all the certificates I could get. And I started work for other flight schools to gain experience for 3 years. Then we started in business for ourselves, me and a partner in Minneapolis. That grew to an international air taxi with a flight school, and we were designated as an air carrier. And after a while, I sold that to my partner. I started doing other things. And I tell you, it has been an enormous journey. I do not regret any of the decisions that I did in order to make that happen. Because that was fueled by the dream. People can do this, and it's so simple to do. You sit down and you think it into existence before you start living it. You first decide what you want. Then you go and think about how would it work? Who would I work with? How would I work with these people? If you don't know who you want to work with, then visualize the position and someone there, a faceless person. But that person will take a face. The face will show up when you know and see who it is. You start visualize the whole picture of what you want into existence and do that every day. You go back and forth to it every day, and the more you go back into the future for the date you have put on it in the future, let's say 1 year or 3 years down the road if it's a bigger project or bigger job description or something bigger, then you go back and forth, and the more you go back and forth and fuel it with your motion, colorful visualizing pictures. Love. Of the people that they're happy, running around having a good time. And you see what you have created. And you see the reward from it, not only for yourself, but the people you work with. In my case, I visualized my own airplane. I got to walk up through the aisles, and I got into the cockpit, sat down in the left seat, started flipping switches and turning engines on and going flying. That was my dream. There could be anything else for anybody else. But you, when you visualize it into an existence where you almost can smell it, there is really very, very rarely that it don't happen.
Okay, let me ask you this. You know, I know you're familiar with this book. It was a very popular bestseller called The Secret.
Yes.
And this is basically the same idea that's propounded in that book to be guaranteed success.
Yeah. There is a lot of the same in there.
I guess the key is being persistent and keeping on believing, even though it might be years before it manifests.
Yeah, that all depends on how you do it. If you decide that something's going to happen 3 years from now, very often it will be 3 years. If you leave the date open, but visualize it in the near future, then you leave it up to the universe to put the date on it. And the universe will tell you when it will happen.
Yeah. Well, I know a person that actually was totally believed that this secret, you know, this thing, when it came out, you know, and everybody was talking about it, and he practiced and did the things and visualized and all for at least a couple of years, and he never did achieve anything. He remained in poverty, and life got even more desperate. It's almost like he just finally gave up, I guess, because he said it ain't gonna work, you know.
Yeah.
But what was he doing wrong, you know?
Well, I'll almost guarantee you he wasn't able to control his mind. He was thinking about low vibratory stuff. He was probably felt sorry for himself and looked at the checkbook in the morning and saw $7.86 in it, you know, and said, oh, gee, you know, grumbling about things. When you start having those emotions, that draws the more of the stuff you are thinking about to you. Because when you're thinking and visualizing things into it, you're using a very special language. It is the language of the spiritual world, outside of the physical space and time. Outside of time, it's obvious, it's everything is now. In that super creation, time does not exist. Present, past, future is the same, it is now. Now that's hard to wrap our head around because we are thinking about it as it looks to us, but what we look at, and Eddie, when you look on your right side there, with, you know, you got your cup of coffee sitting there. Think about
right. That's where my coffee is right now.
Yeah, I know. In fact, right now you're holding onto the handle, right?
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
Come on. Now, you don't want to give away just how psychic you really are. Now.
How do you think I knew that?
I don't know. Anyway. You're just psychic, that's all.
Well, I did used to have a radio show for 13 weeks, me and another psychic, where we were giving psychic readings on the radio. So maybe there is something to that.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Yeah, but the thing is that person you were talking about, he wasn't able to, I am totally sure, he wasn't able to control his thoughts. He was reading about the watching the videos and reading about the secret, and he was thinking about it. But what do we do when we think? We think and sub-vocalize what we see and what we think. It doesn't go usually with emotion and intention. Emotion is the carrier of thought. Intention is the power behind it. So when you think you want something, where do you send that wish? It goes out of the time and space, reality, the physical, into the void, the spiritual existence, into that soup of creation where everything is. And that thought, with emotion and intention that you had for something that you wanted in the future, has a certain vibration to it. That vibration is trying to match other vibration in that soup. And when it finds a vibration that it resonates with, it gets drawn to it. And then, when you start pulling that back, it also pulls back what it got matched in vibration with. And it starts showing up in your life. Now, coming from a spiritual existence into the physical, there are some physical channels and procedures and protocols that has to be adhered to in order for it to show up in your life as a physical thing, like a new car or something. That has to, that's a many faceted project, because it's got to involve money, it's got to involve decisions, dealers, and all kinds of things that's got to come together. You don't worry about how it comes together. The universe will take care of that as long as you do your part. Remember the saying, God will give you the nut, but he won't crack it?
I don't know that saying, but that's a good one.
Probably the reason that you haven't heard it is because I think I came up with it. But there's something to that. We gotta do our part. And when we do, then the universe will see that we are actively involved working with it.
Yeah, Goethe had a quote, I can't remember the verbatim exact words, something to the effect that if you advance the direction of your dream with great confidence and belief, that the universe will cooperate with you in that. Something to that effect.
He was brilliant.
Advance boldly in the direction of your dream, and some of the universe then will cooperate to facilitate this happening. Is it the key of belief? Is that the key of having total faith in that it will work? Or is that the main key or what?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Because we are full of wrong belief in our subconscious mind. And those false beliefs, anything from religion to what we've been taught in school, in history, all these things are, what I'm concerned, the definition of history is the most commonly accepted lie for the moment. There's so much in our history that is just flat wrong.
Yeah.
And the belief that you're talking about, that is a very, very important, integral part of that creation process. You got to have conviction. It goes beyond belief. It's got to be total conviction that this is mine. The time has only not caught up with it yet.
Yeah, can I just ask a hypothetical question? I mean, this is maybe pretty far-fetched, but so I became absolutely convinced that I was going to win the Powerball within the next year, and just kept, buying tickets and with total absolute faith and belief it was going to happen within a year. Would that have any effect?
All right. And there is a joke about that.
I'm sure.
There was a guy that he was bragging to his friends that he was going to win the lottery. And Saturday came around and he didn't win. So he bragging next week he didn't win that either. And the people after a while start making fun of him. And he sat down one night and, on the side of the bed, put his head down and just prayed, and just, dear God, why haven't I won the lottery? And then he heard his rumbling voice above him and he said, son, buy a ticket. Work with me a little bit. Have you bought a ticket?
Okay. Hey, I'll tell a quick story. I know. Yeah.
Eddie,
can I share a quick? Go ahead. Yeah.
Eddie, have you bought a ticket?
Let me share a quick story. This happened in Memphis. number of years back, I read the story that this man won $1 million at a slot machine down in the casino in Tupelo, right a few miles south of Memphis. And it was told that, about him that he always introduced himself when he met somebody, "I'm so-and-so the millionaire." And he always would say that. And then he did become a millionaire. So maybe there's something to that belief.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the way you do it. You don't have to be that blatant about it. You don't have to say it loud, but you can say it to yourself and in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, can other people affect your dream?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Your visualization. Can other people affect the outcome of what you try to manifest?
The answer is yes and no. That is all up to what you decide. If you decide that this is something that other people do not understand, then I would not let other people interfere in the thought process. I would keep it to myself, and I've done that a lot, because a lot of times is that they would not visualize it the same way you do. And if there are two different visualized projects going to the order desk of the universal consciousness, it's going to get confused and say, "Oh, wait a minute, do we want this one or that one? What does he want?" Everything goes on the shelf until you get your mind together. So it is probably important to keep it to yourself, unless that you sit down with your family and explain exactly what you want as a family. And then you, all of you, try to visualize the same thing into existence. Then it can become much stronger, because you are using the mastermind principle. And that is plain and simple. When two or more minds are united in harmony, they create a third mind that has the potential mind power of the two or more of them multiplied by each other.
Interesting. Here's an interesting hypothetical scenario. What if everybody on the planet really believed I was going to win the Powerball here in the next month, and they really believed it? Every person on the planet, would I actually win that Powerball, you think?
Well, yeah, if they all got it, then it'll probably have to split up, so it'll be about 8 cents on each one of them.
No, I said they believed I was going to win the Powerball just by the tickets of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer that, except for there is a story of Art Bell on his Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
He did that experiment when Texas was burning up with brush fires. They haven't had rain for 3 months down there. And he told his listener, which was several million people, visualize rain over Texas.
Yeah, I remember that.
That happened.
I remember that.
Yeah, there were no moisture in the air, but it did happen. The weather forecasters the next day were dumbfounded. They said this was not in the computer models. It should not have happened, but it did.
Mm-hmm. The power of mass consciousness.
Yeah. So the answer to your question is lying right in there. If you can convince everybody on the globe to that you would win, yeah, I bet you would.
I bet I would too. But the problem there is, how do I convince everybody on the planet?
That's what the internet is for.
Yeah. Oh, we only got about 15 minutes left in the show. Why don't we invite callers, if they'd like to ask a question, to call us at 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. Got about 15 more minutes left in the show. In the meantime, I'll tell our listeners how they can get a copy of this new book.
Okay. Hey, I'm realizing now that it's not going to be much time to talk about a lot of these things. Maybe there could be done another time, also expand a little more.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if they go to my website, they can get their hands on it and they can read it. And I'll tell you, if you read this book once, then plow through it so you get a pretty good idea, and then sit down and read it and take notes the second time. Because if you do, your life will never be the same. And go to www.universalsuccessprinciples.com. That is www.universalsuccessprinciples.com.
Okay.
And see, the attitude of the people, the successful people, they're unshakable. Let me ask you, just in your own mind, think about this. If you knew you could not fail, what would you start tomorrow morning?
That's Goethe's idea. if you advance boldly in the direction of your dreams, immediately the universe will start to assist you.
Yeah.
If I believed I would not fail, what would I start immediately?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, good thought there.
Yeah, see, billionaires, they have never been realistic. If they were realistic, they would be doing other things. And they think different. They're the humanitarians. They're the dreamers. And they have traits and strong commitments towards what they're doing. They study people. They read books. And they read every day. Every day they also spend time in meditation or quiet contemplation, communicating with that self-aware universal consciousness. And that is very important. Don't miss a day on it. That's mm-hmm. where they get their inspiration, their knowledge, and their wisdom from.
So,
and also, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask, let's say, you know, there are a lot of people out there who have, like, negative thoughts, especially about themselves. And so when they go about these visualizations, their own natural thought patterns would eventually come back and probably interfere with that visualization process. What would you say as great advice for someone to start rewriting or reprogramming their mind in such a way to erase the negative thought patterns?
Well, first of all, I would say read good books. There are some that is better than others. But I would say read this one, and that there's another one, The Power of Intention. And another one is called The Magic of Thinking Big.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. There are some books out there that is stand out very much high above the others in quality of thought. So when you start read those things, and then start watching YouTube, if there's anything that billionaires or very successful people, that the people that are successful that at what you want to do, listen to them, read what they have written, study them, because what they have done, you want to do, and you learn from them. Try to associate with them. Now, that don't have to be in person. You associate with them when you read a book they have written.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something, you start getting closer to them. Start developing the mastermind principle for yourself and develop mantras that you can walk around and you think this in your mind, and it becomes so automatic that you roll this thought over in your mind while you're thinking about other stuff. I got good at that. I could think about two or three things at the same time, and they were all in my mind at the same time, but they were going in different directions. You can actually do that after a while. And it's not that hard. You just roll that mantra over and over. Something like, you know, Norman Vincent Peale talked about, you know, every day, something like I'm getting better every day or something like that, he was saying. And that is, it's a good one. Work one together that is good for you, that you resonate with. Use one that you resonate with. It's got to be totally positive and no negative words in it. Like, I am not sick. The subconscious mind hears the word not and it erases the rest of it. And Anything with a negative tone to a word should be avoided. It has to be all positive. Like, I am in perfect health. If you start doing that for several hours a day for 30 days, there are people that have done this, and they have eradicated diseases that they have had.
You know, it's an interesting fact, I'm sure, that almost nobody ever does that. Extremely small minority of people do that. This doing the, you know, the mantra thing on a daily basis.
And really successful people, they do it all the time. That's one of the reasons they are successful. Another reason is that you find like-minded people and you brainstorm with them.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down and say, this is the thing we're going to be talking about. And we have 20 minutes to solve all the problems on it. And we expect that we will have the solution in 20 minutes. These are the issues. This is what we need to think about. Let's be quiet for 10 minutes, come up with the solutions, and then we will discuss them for another 10 minutes. When you do that, you'd be amazed what happens. You can do that in a family. If there's an issue for a family, and you keep a pen and a piece of paper in front of you, write down what you come up with. And while you're thinking, you write something down, because 10 minutes later, you may have forgotten what you thought about.
Mm. Yeah.
This is one of the success principles that is used all the time with really successful people. They also take mind development courses. I traveled around the country, taught one 20 years ago. That was is now called ZoxPro.com, ZoxPro training course. Shannon out of Australia, he's got a phenomenal program that'll teach people how to assimilate information out of a book at the rate of 50,000 or more words per minute with 95% retention. These kinds of things, the successful people, they eat it up.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't do it, and that's why they are not at their level.
So if one would say, start out and do the ZoxPro training and then read your book, then they'd be well on their way then to success.
Yeah, just reading it and then going through the ZoxPro course and doing nothing else, then that may not do it altogether. But remember, we got to do our part. We got to crack the nut. We have to do our part. Just by reading the book that we're talking about tonight, that's not going to do it for you. You got to sit down and do the things that they talk about in there. Do the brainstorming with your family. Do the brainstorming with people at work. You got to use these principles. Develop the mantras. You got to use these principles every day. And if you go through the ZoxPro training course, you got to do these things. It is not handed to you on the platter. It takes a little bit of effort. But once you put out that little bit of effort for, let's say, a month or so, man, oh man, your mind will never be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Augie, we have about 5 minutes left in the show. Is there anything you want to say specifically to the audience?
Yeah, I would say it is your life. You should decide what it will be like. You go into the future, set a date for it, for certain things to happen, and then go back and forth and design it the way you want it. Build it with emotion, intention, colorful pictures. See people having a great time, laughing, and be happy in there.
Mm-hmm.
And do that every day. Take care of your health. Do the hyperventilation. Start studying natural remedies. I don't take anything away from medical doctors. They are phenomenal technicians. And if I break my leg, I'm going to go see one.
Mm-hmm.
If I had liver cancer, I would never see one because I would have it cured in less than 30 days.
Really? Oh, my God. Okay.
Absolutely. There is no question in my mind because there are so many remedies out there that will do that.
What about diabetes?
It can be cured in 30 days. There is a, we saw a, the other night, we saw a video of somebody in Arizona that specializes in doing that in 30 days.
Mm. And we're talking about, I mean, even the worst cases of it.
Still diabetes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why the person got that? It's because they've been eating the garbage you buy at the grocery store.
Yeah. And what about fast foods? That's even worse, right?
Well, how many definitions do you have for garbage? You know,
that's right. Yeah.
And remember, there is one thing I want to finish it up with. And this is one of the principles that can get you more abundance than anything. Not necessarily wealth only, but abundance that go way beyond wealth. And that is, there is two things that go to the bank. One of them is money, and the other one is goodwill. And they have equal value at different times.
Hmm.
A billionaire told me that about 20 years ago, and it stuck with me for ever since, because it's a good saying.
Hmm. Okay.
Apply that one, and goodwill will carry you, even in the bad times.
Could you elaborate a little bit more on the definition of what you mean by goodwill?
Let's say that somebody asks you a favor. You don't owe this person anything. It's inconvenient for you. But it's raining outside and he wants you to come and help him move or something. Just anything. If you do it, you build goodwill with that person. So that there's a time when you need help, he will be there for you. That is part of the physical part. But also is you're putting something into a spiritual bank account, tenfold deposit of what you did. And that builds and builds. And there are times when you draw on that and you don't even know you draw because it comes natural. You think, gee, I was lucky. No, you weren't lucky. It was probably a withdrawal from that spiritual bank account with all the goodwill in it that just showed up because you had wanted something and you put something into that super creation with emotion and intention that you wanted something, and here it comes.
I'm kind of reminded of a saying Jesus had in the New Testament about lay up your treasure in heaven. Does that relate to this?
Oh, I would definitely say so. I would really think so.
It's a very good thought to end the program with.
Yeah.
And very few people have, I'm sure, ever heard that thought the way you expressed it, certainly.
Yeah.
Well, August, it's been a
thing,
great show.
In the back of the book also, there is a very good explanation on how to meditate so you can get some very good results from it.
Oh,
the
good.
Process of meditation is something that everybody should learn, and this will teach you how to do that.
Well, I'm going to get a copy of this book. Now, you've sold me, and I'm sure many of our listeners would want to get a copy. It's been a very good show. Thank you so much for being on, and we'll look forward to having you back on again in the very near future.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.